Well, I'm thankful tonight to be able to trust that Jesus that created me. There's nothing like putting your hands in the one that made the heavens and the earth. And someone who cares. The Lord has a vested interest in us tonight. When you think about the Creator dying on the cross, paid such a price for us, He wants to save us. He wants a return on His investment, if I can say it like that. He did not do that so that He could cut us off at the first opportunity. He did it so that He could forgive us of our sins, raise us up, let us have a resurrection of life, and be saved and enjoy life and meet Him in eternal peace. I appreciate that. I appreciate tonight that the Lord spared us another day to be together. Gave us another opportunity to choose Him above all else. Tonight I feel burdened with what I'm going to call a time-sensitive message. Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, he said, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven." You remember that? And then he went through in the third chapter and had all kinds of examples about there's a time to live, there's a time to die, there's a time to plant, there's a time to pluck up that which is planted. A whole litany of things where it's time to do. And there is. We live in a world where our lives are structured around time in a lot of ways. And there's times when it really is time to sit down. Yes. It's not good to be standing up when you're supposed to be sitting down. No. And there's times when you need to be standing up. And it's not right to be sitting down. And if you commit to be somewhere at a certain time, it's probably best not to show up the next day if they were planning on you for dinner. That doesn't work real well. No. There's a time. If you call somebody in the middle of the night to shoot the breeze, you might get some advice that it might be better to call at a different time. Because it's not the right time. But when it comes to the need of our soul, and it comes to responding to the conviction of God, now is the accepted time. Yes. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, but now is the accepted time. And that's the burden of my message this evening. Ecclesiastes 11:4 says, "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap." If you don't want to sow and you don't want to reap, the clouds and the rain are one of your best friends. You know, if you don't want to do the work, then you're happy to see the clouds and the rain come. You'd think that it'd be good to get out there and sow and reap because it's the time to sow and it's the time to reap. But if you don't want to, you can find reasons to sit at home and not do what needs to be done. Proverbs said it this way, "The slothful man says, there's a lion without, and I shall be slain in the streets." You ever thought about that verse? There's a lion without, and I shall be slain in the streets, said a slothful man says that. Well, first of all, I've never seen a lion just walking around out in the street. No. Maybe you have. I've seen them in a zoo. You might be able to go through one of those drive-through zoos and find a lion. I don't know if they even do that. I think they do in Africa safaris. You can find those things. But most of the time, y'all don't need to worry about a lion out in the street. Most of the time, what you need to do is you need to go do what needs to be done and not have a reason like there's a lion in the street to stay inside the house. But sometimes we find reasons that we think no one should be able to gainsay. If there really was a lion in the street, you wouldn't want to be out in the street, would you? That'd be a good time to stay in the house. And so when we come up with seemingly good reasons not to do what needs to be done, we feel some sense of we feel like we have a reason to do what it is that we're doing. One of the most tried practice tactics in dealing with responsibility that comes our way is to delay or defer action for seemingly good reasons. We often don't just delay and defer it without any kind of a reason. We usually have a seemingly good reason. Lying in the street might be a reason. I don't know if it's a good reason, but it's a reason. I can find all kinds of reasons not to go out and pull the weeds. I can say, you know what? I'd sure like to pull the weeds today, but if I just give them a little bit longer, they'll get a little bigger. It'll be a little bit easier to grab a hold of and pull out. So I think I'm just going to stay in today and let the weeds grow a little longer, so it'll be a little better, a little easier for me to do. I can find reasons not to change the oil. I can find reasons not to clean the eaves. After all, they'll just get dirty again. I can find all kinds of good reasons not to go on a diet today. You know, in 3 months, it's going to be Christmas. And if I don't eat a lot of food when I go to Mom's house, it might make her feel bad. And so I'm going to wait until after Christmas is over before I go on a diet. Not that that's what I want to do, but that's what I'm going to have to do. You see, there's always reasons that we can come up with to delay and to defer action. And by doing that, we find some measure of comfort because we're still planning on doing it. See? We didn't say we weren't going to do it. I plan on going on a diet. I am going to clean the eaves. I am going to pull the weeds. I know it needs to be done, and I'm going to do it. It just shouldn't be done right now. And so we find some measure of comfort in putting it off, but still planning on doing it. Just not doing it right now. But I want to say this. If you're looking for the perfect set of conditions, it's usually not going to come. And when it comes to the needs of our souls, did you know that it's never easy to die out to yourself?
No.
There's never going to come a day where you say, you know what, today I feel like experiencing a very unpleasant thing. This is the day that I feel like dying out to myself. This is the day I feel like giving up the thing that I know I need to give up, but I want to hang on to it. But there's never going to come a time where you feel like it's the right thing to do. But when it has to do with the needs of our souls, folks, it's serious business. It's serious business. I'm not in control of whether or not tomorrow comes. You know, as a people, as a whole, we don't gamble. You won't find me. You won't find me at the casino. I don't go there. Never gambled a nickel in my life. Not like that. But do you know what concerns me is that we'll stand up here and no doubt there's some of you out there, you'll agree with what I'm saying, that we don't gamble. And yet we gamble with our souls and with time. Because when you know that you have a need in your heart and in your soul, and God has revealed it to you, and you don't do anything about it because you think there'll be a tomorrow, you don't know there's going to be a tomorrow. God never promised you tomorrow. You don't know what a day may bring forth. And if the Lord comes back and I'm not ready for Him, what then? Eternity is a long time.
Yes, amen.
And what about all of the people that are dependent on me to live in the right way? You know, I might find some reasons to delay and defer action on the things that I know to do right for myself. But what about somebody else? I remember as a teenager being in a vehicle with somebody that was driving way too fast, way too recklessly, and I'd never considered myself a reckless driver. I was fairly conservative. But I remember thinking, you know, if you want to drive like that, if you want to pass people on blind curves, you want to go around where you don't know what is going to come towards you, it's one thing to do it with just you in the vehicle. But it's something different when I'm in here with you. Because you're making a decision for me too. You're making a decision that you're hoping that everything's going to turn out okay, not just for you, but for me. And you don't have those decision rights. I didn't give you those decision rights. You see, it's a responsible thing when you have somebody else in the vehicle with you. When you delay and defer action in your souls, and God has convicted you, it is about you, but it also might be about somebody else too. And yet so often, we're willing to sit back and gamble with time and put off and delay and defer action and sit in meetings like this, and the Lord comes by and talks to our heart and points something out in our lives that He would like us to change. And we sit and we let it go and we think, maybe another time. Yes. Well, this tent isn't a real convenient place to come down to the altar. You know, tomorrow I have something I'd like to do, and if I make a change today, it won't be real convenient. Maybe next week. Maybe when the next meeting comes. You know, maybe when the Lord saves when you're all by yourself in your room. No one else has to be around. I know that many people have gotten saved that way. But don't make the conscious decision that you're just going to delay and defer and hope that another time comes, because you are not guaranteed another day. I'm not guaranteed it, and you're not guaranteed it. And our life is so short. And when we get on the other side of this life into eternity, we are going to be either so very glad that we heeded the conviction of the Spirit and responded, or we're going to be so sad. We're going to be so sad that we neglected, that we turned our back on the One that created us. It's serious business tonight. Yes, and I do not want to neglect the thing where now is the accepted time to address it. I'd like to read out of the 24th chapter of Acts. This is when Paul was taken prisoner and he was making a case for himself, his defense. Although I find that his defense turned into a message that he was concerned about the souls of the ones that he was preaching before. But I'd like to pick up in the 24th verse of the 24th chapter. Paul was before Felix, the governor. And it said, after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And I want to say before we read the next verse, Paul had spoken to the governor prior to this. This wasn't the first time. He had already heard from Paul. And perhaps there was something in the message that Paul brought that registered in his heart. And the Lord was faithful to this governor. Felix, you look at the history of Felix, he was not a saintly man. He was a wicked man. And yet God had mercy on him and he talked to his heart. And I have to believe that after Paul spoke to him the first time, he went home and laid in his bed and he thought about some of the things that he heard. And maybe his heart was convicted that night. And he came back and he sent for Paul to come again. And so he brought him back again and wanted to hear him concerning the faith in Christ. And it said that as he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, he heard a gospel message similar to the message that no doubt you all have heard many times in the past. And he sat there and he listened about righteousness, which was different from what he was living. And he heard about temperance, self-control, something that he had not been exercising. And he heard about judgment to come. Judgment came for him. Tonight, Felix has met the Lord and has been judged. And I don't know of a place where Felix came and humbled himself before the Lord and asked for forgiveness. I hope he did. But I think about Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar. He lived his life all the way up, began partaking of the things he knew better than to do. He got so consumed and carried away with what he wanted to do, He asked for the vessels out of the temple. And he began to use what should have been a temple for the Lord and began to use it to consume it upon his lust. There's a lesson in that for us. You are the vessel of the Lord. You're intended to be the temple of God. God expects your instruments, your hands, your eyes, your ears, your senses to be used for His glory, not to consume it upon your lust. We have a cause greater than ourselves. And Belshazzar got so comfortable, the days passed and he just assumed he'd have another day. Until one day, he took of that was supposed to be designed to glorify the Lord, consumed upon himself, and that hand that night came and wrote on the wall, "Thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting." This night, his kingdom was taken away from him. Not another day. Didn't have another opportunity. Don't you know that Belshazzar tonight wishes he had another chance? Daniel told him that night. He told him all about his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar. Told him what had happened with Nebuchadnezzar. We talked about Nebuchadnezzar the other night, the golden image. He saw the Lord. Nebuchadnezzar wrote most of the fourth chapter of Daniel. Read it. It's the words of Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel reminded Belshazzar of all of that. And he got done with all of it and he said, "And you knew this. You knew this already. But you neglected. You decided that you could go ahead and proceed with what you were doing." Maybe he thought, "I'll have another chance just like my grandfather." But he didn't. I don't know if Felix had another chance. But he was convicted this day. It said after he was reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. God was faithful to him.
Yes, it was.
God's been faithful to you and to me so many times. As we sit under the sound of the gospel and the Lord touches our hearts and we begin to feel that conviction, that's the faithfulness of God. And He's not dealing with your heart to respond to it next week or next year. He's passing by to deal with your heart so that you'll respond now, tonight. Now is the accepted time. You're not promised tomorrow. Said Felix, trembled. And oh, his response was so sad. He said, "Go thy way for this time." Did you hear how he said it? "When I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee." You think he ever had a convenient season? I don't think he did. He didn't just say, "I don't agree with you." But there was probably a measure of comfort. "When I have a convenient season, I'm going to call back for you. I hear what you say. I hear what you're saying. Maybe there is something to this. I feel something in my soul that I haven't felt before. I'll call you. I'll call you back when I have a more convenient season." But I don't read where there was a more convenient season. Oh, if he could take back. If he could roll the clock back and have it to do all over again. I think that he would have done something different. I don't want to find myself in that place. He left a serious need unattended. And it cost him his soul. Might have cost some of his family their souls. Are we willing tonight to put our souls at risk and our family's souls at risk? And the good that God wants us to do because we're waiting for a more convenient season. We can sit out here in these seats and find all kinds of reasons to just wait till the service passes. Just let it pass. The conviction will pass. We'll go. Everything will be okay. It's probably just an emotion anyway. I want to give you pause tonight. Don't neglect the convicting power of the Lord when He passes by. If you turn your Bible a couple pages in the 26th chapter of Acts, he didn't let Paul go. Pretty soon Paul found himself before King Agrippa. And Paul appealed to King Agrippa a little bit. He told King Agrippa, he told him, He said, I'm happy. I think myself happy to be able to make my defense before you, O King, because I know that you are not, you understand these things. These things are not a secret to you. And he kind of appealed to him a little bit that way. And he began to preach a message to King Agrippa. And if you do you remember Festus?
Yeah.
Festus was over there listening to all this. And I can just see, I like to visualize some of these things, it helps me. Paul was depending on King Agrippa. His message was to King Agrippa in a sense, but Festus was in there listening to it all. And Festus got so, he got so tired of listening to it, or maybe he was convicted too, I don't know. And finally, he just wanted to bring a stop to all of it. This man has gone mad. And Paul told King Agrippa, oh, King Agrippa. He said, I know that you know something about these things that I speak of. I know you know something about this. And he said, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. I think what it really meant was, you persuaded me that I need to be a Christian, but I didn't quite get to the place where I was willing to be a Christian. I didn't quite get to the place where I was willing to say, I'll make a change. He had things he didn't want to give up. He had a position he didn't want to give up. The cross is not always easy to bow before. But oh, the reward if you do. You know, some people say, you better get saved because you might die tomorrow. And I'm trying to impress that upon you tonight, that you may not have another chance. But one man said, you better get saved because you might live a long time. There's no better way to live than to be saved. We get the best of both lives. God's calling us because He wants to lift us up and give us more abundant life. Why do we want to sit there and neglect so great a salvation? Why do we want to let the Lord convict us and draw us and speak to our hearts and point out those areas where we can improve and get victory over and then let it pass by? Paul said in another place, 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There always seems to be a more convenient season, but now is the accepted time. Folks, now is the time to draw closer to the Lord. Now is the time to face those things in your life that you're so afraid to face. Now is the time to swallow your pride or lay your pride at the foot of the cross and bow down before the Lord and get the help that you need.
Yes, it is.
Now is the time to be willing. To be willing to accept and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And to be willing to set some of your own ideas to the side. Now is the time to do that. You may not have tomorrow. We say, well, I'm a pretty good person. There's a difference between a good person and a saved person.
Yes, sir.
The five foolish virgins didn't make it in. They were good folks. Perhaps they sat under the sound of the gospel. But they neglected. They let their oil run out. I don't want to be in that place. Why do we sit? Because so many times we think there's going to be a more convenient season. Jesus said in the Revelations, the 22nd chapter, surely I come quickly. Come quickly. Think, well, I've lived for X number of years. I'll probably live another day. Listen, it doesn't matter how old you live in this life. When you stand before the Almighty God and the Judge that's gonna judge you for eternity, an eternity that never, ever, ever ends, You're going to stand before Him, and your life on this earth is going to be done. And I have an idea that every one of us could testify, surely He came quickly. Surely it passed by quickly. You talk to those that have lived for a seemed like a great number of years, and almost to a person they say, it seemed like it went by so fast. It seems like it passed by so fast. There is a sense of urgency that God wants us to have tonight. Do you feel a sense of urgency, or do you just feel blah? Do you feel like, well, there'll be another day? I've heard this all before. There is a lot of folks that met the Lord today that heard it all before.
Yes.
Many people went out today and saw the Lord in judgment, not another chance to make another change. And they thought they were going to have another day. We, every one of us here, were one drunk driver away from meeting the Lord. It's not in your hands to decide. What's it worth? What's it worth to sit back and let go the conviction of the Lord? What's it worth to allow in your lives the thing that the Lord has put His finger on and say, it's not that bad? You think the Lord says, you think those are the words of the Lord, it's not that bad? You think the Lord convicts you and then turns right around and says, but it's not that bad? That's not the Lord. The enemy would like to come along and find all kinds of seemingly good reasons for you to neglect, to delay, to defer action.
Yeah.
And there's reasons that we do. There's reasons that all of us have felt with. I wrote some of them down. Maybe you can relate to them. Have you ever been scared? Have you ever been scared of taking that next step with the Lord? We're scared sometimes. That's normal. I'm not up here to say that when you get saved and filled with the Spirit that you're never scared again about anything. But God doesn't want us to be scared to the point that it regulates our lives and hinders us from fulfilling His Word for us. Jonah was scared of Nineveh and he ran the other way. God had something better for him than that. He ended up in the belly of the fish. 10 of the 12 spies that came back from Canaan were scared. They didn't get to go into Canaan. Joshua and Caleb said, you're right. There are giants over there. There is reason that to the flesh, we are smaller than them. But we're well able because of the Lord. He'll fight our battles. And yet we sit out there sometimes and we don't respond because we're afraid that it's us that are going to have to deal with all of the things that we're scared to deal with. The Lord will be with you. He'll help fight your battle with you. He doesn't want us to be scared. He wants us to step into the water. Sometimes we believe the price is too great. I think about the young rich ruler who came to the Lord. He wanted the Lord. He loved the Lord. Came to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to him of what he needed to do to be saved. And did it say that he went away happy?
No.
Went away sorrowful. Had his possessions though, didn't he? Didn't have to give up his possessions. Got to keep those. Got to delay that. Maybe for good. Got to keep his possessions. So from that day forth, he had his possessions and he was sorrowful.
Yes.
And then he met the Lord on the other side. And remembered when God was faithful to him and told him what it was he needed to do. Be like Zacchaeus. Don't be like the young rich ruler that turned away sorrowful. You don't have to do that.
Amen.
You can just have faith and say, Lord, I'm going to make a change in my life. I'm going to do it.
Yes.
I remember hearing the story. I always liked hearing this story about somebody that was sitting on the front bench. I don't remember who. Somebody testified about it, and the preacher was preaching, and the person was on the front bench just, yes, amen, just everything the preacher, amen, agreeing with it all. And then the preacher said something that wasn't consistent with how they were living. And they said, amen, and the person next to him knew they weren't living to it. And they said, you're not living to that. And they looked right at him and said, I am now. No reason to wait. God called. They responded. They got the victory.
Thank the Lord.
No reason to just put it off and say, oh, that's right, I'm going to wilt. The price seems too great. God paid the price. He'll help you. He'll help you get through it. He'll pay 100-fold.
Amen.
Sometimes I feel like that we hold on. We hold on to our bag of pennies and He's saying, turn them over to me.
Yeah.
And we hold on so much and He's wanting to give us a bag of silver dollars.
Yeah.
And yet we don't hardly want to let go because we feel like we're having to give it up. And the Lord's saying, just trust me. And when we trust Him, we find we get so much more in return than what we gave up.
Yeah.
Give up being scared. Try it. Give up worrying about that the price is too great. Ridicule, think less of. You ever run into that? I know you have. Young people especially. You're afraid that if you go all out for the Lord, you're going to be criticized and ridiculed and not accepted. You may have exactly what everybody else wants and needs. How many stories are there of saints, young saints who lived true in the face of adversity? And at the end of the school year, find a note tucked in somewhere from someone they never dreamed that said, thank you. Thank you. I watched your life. I gained strength from it. You didn't know I was watching you, but I was. Be willing. Be willing to be ridiculed for the Lord. Be willing to be humbled for the Lord. More than I can do. Lord, I'd like to do it, but it's just more than I can do. Moses thought that. Lord, I'm of a slow speech and a slow tongue. I can't do that. Lord says, I'll help you. I'll help you where you're weak. I'll give you the strength that you need. Paul said he went to the Lord 3 times about something that he was having a problem with. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. I want to close in the Matthew, the 25th chapter. God does not want us to take our fears, and He doesn't want us to bury what He gives us and what He wants out of our lives because we focus so much on the thing that we're afraid of. Most of the time, it isn't even true. In the 25th chapter of Matthew, this is the parable of the talents, and for the sake of time, I'm not going to read it all. But you remember that the Lord gave different people a different amount of talents. Said He gave one 5, and He gave one 2, and He gave one. And He went on a journey. And it said that when He came back, and we'll skip to the 24th verse, He said, then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, give it to the one who hath, and he shall have abundance. Give it to him which hath 10 talents. And it said, for unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken even away that which he hath. Listen to the judgment. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. God does not expect the same thing from everyone. And sometimes we draw back and say, well, I can't be the servant of the Lord like so-and-so, and so I guess I just won't do anything. Remember the loaves and the fishes?
Yes.
God wants us to give what He's given us. He wants us to use what He's given us. He wants us to trust Him. Are you scared? Are you afraid because of your personality? It's real. But God wants you to stretch a little bit. He wants you to lean forward. Are you afraid of what you might have to give up? Be willing to give up a little bit more than what you think you can. And look to the Lord for help. He gave you a talent. He wants you to use it. He doesn't want you to sit back and not do anything with it. He doesn't want you to bury it. He gave it to us to use. And when we sit under the sound of the gospel, or we read the scriptures, or the Holy Spirit comes by and He whispers in our ear when we're at home, or when we're on the job, or when we're driving down the road, He's trying to help us take what He's given us, and He wants to grow it. He wants to grow it into something more than what it is today. But we're not going to be able to do that if we're not willing to step out. Now is the accepted time. What are we going to do? How would we fare tonight? If the Lord passed by your way and you had to give an account tonight of all of the things that He's convicted you about that maybe you've buried, or you thought, when I have a more convenient season, or, you know, I was almost persuaded to do it, but then I realized all of these other reasons why maybe I shouldn't do it right now. I remember talking to a young man one time, and he wasn't saved, and I was talking to him about that, and he wanted to get saved. But he said, there's just a few things that I don't understand right now that I want to try to get kind of figured out, and then maybe he'd get saved. There's not going to be a better time. I'd like to figure the things out when I'm saved. Not when I'm not saved. If I have a need in my heart and there's things I don't understand and there's places I don't think I can give up and there's areas that I'm scared about, I want to put myself before the Lord now while I have opportunity, while He's given me a day to do it, and say, Lord, I'm scared. Lord, it seems like it's more than I can give. Be honest with the Lord. He already knows. He's not going to think less of you. Come lay it out all before the Lord. Lord, it seems like more than I can do. It seems more than I can give. I'm scared of that. I don't think I can handle the ridicule. But God, You're a great God and I'm coming before You. And I want Your help. And Lord, I'm willing to do it now. I'm not going to delay. I'm not going to defer. I'm not going to wait for a more convenient time that won't ever come. If the Lord comes by our way, where would we stand tonight? Are you comfortable? Or would He say you've delayed and deferred action and give us our part in outer darkness? I don't want to take the chance.
No.
Eternity's too long. He paid a great price for my salvation. He came to bring me abundant life. Tonight, if the Lord has dealt with your heart and you have felt conviction in an area that you haven't responded to, don't delay or defer action. Often we say there'll be a more convenient time, but today is the accepted time. Pray for me. I want to be true.